Daniel Powell's counsel to ladies in junior high and high school is, don't feel like you have to take initiative and rush dating relationships.
Just have some dignity. You are worth waiting for, and you don't need to be the one pursuing the boy. When it's time, God will bring them into your life.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, July 27th.
Talking this week with Rebecca Ingram Powell, who has written a fabulous book called Season of Change. The subtitle is Parenting Your Middle Schooler with Passion and Purpose. And let me just say this, if you're not intentional and seeking the Lord about how you parent your middle schooler, it's going to overcome you during that season. So this is a book with a lot of practical hints and tips. One of the things I liked about it a lot is that Rebecca includes throughout this book what she calls toolboxes. I think there are 15 of them. And they're full of practical tips for purposeful parenting, real practical things. So, Rebecca, thank you for writing this book. Oh. Thank you for your heart for our kids, for your own kids first,
it's a blessing.
And then for others' kids. And we're glad to have you on the broadcast. And also, this week we've been joined by your daughter, Dania. Dania, welcome to Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you.
You're the first of three children, so the last chapter hasn't been written on
this, right,
or any other family.
Mm-hmm.
But the proof's in the pudding. I was just saying before we were talking before recording the session that what you've been describing for us this week in terms of the parent-child relationship and the heart and hunger for the Lord, it is so rare to find that. And your response, Rebecca, was?
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a rarity. It should be something that, as Christians, that we are constantly striving for. But it is difficult because of the culture that we live in. I'm not making excuses.
And we have an enemy who is doing everything he can,
right,
to make sure that this next generation does not love Jesus.
You know, and it's funny, but I think that sometimes we don't give the devil his due, per se, in that I have told my kids, you have an enemy and he hates you. And we just don't mince words about
it
because that's the truth. And when you look at it that way, then I think you're not as surprised at the things he does.
Well, we've been talking over the last couple of sessions about communication between parents and kids and cultivating a heart and a hunger for the Lord, spiritual things. But today I want us to talk just about a number of specific issues because there are moms listening saying, okay, stop all this general stuff. I want to hear about some specifics. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? And we're not saying in any of this that the way you have parented is exactly the way somebody else needs to parent their kids. But I think it'd be helpful to just hear from you, Rebecca, how you've processed some of these specific issues. So I'm going to throw some tough ones at you. And Dania, I want to hear from your perspective what you think about how your parents processed some of these issues. And now as a young adult yourself, what you're thinking is on those matters. So in one of the earlier programs, I know you talked about dating your daughter and going to movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to come back to that subject and say, as it relates to entertainment, television, movies, what kind of grid do you use for what you let your kids watch, mm-hmm. what you let them listen to, and how do you process that?
Well, one of the things that I thought about when we were talking about that is, you know, when our kids were little, under 10, Rich and I either went and saw it first, or we would read a review and be pretty sure we knew what we were getting into, or we waited until the movie came out, you know, for rental, and we would watch it with the remote in hand. When Daniel was right at that middle school age, 11 or 12 years old, we were in Texas. I was out there speaking, and we had friends there, and so she was staying with our friends, and she called me on my cell phone, and she said her little friend had this movie, and we had talked about possibly going to see it, but we had not had time so far. And she said, can I watch it with her? And I said, you know, Dania, I don't know, because we still haven't seen it. I'm not sure about it. And plus, of course, kind of her timing was off a little bit there because I wasn't ready for that question. So the answer was no. And she was fine with that. We got off the phone. As soon as we got off the phone, though, the Lord began to nudge my heart that this kid is 11 years old and I need to step up my game here. And as I began to think about it, I thought, she didn't argue with me. If that had been me, I would have said anything from, well, you know, Miss Vicky thinks it's okay because she bought it, or, you know, my friend is younger than me and she's already seen it. I mean, I know that I would have come at my mom with an argument, and she didn't do that. And the Lord just emphasized to me that she had honored me and I need to honor her in return. So I called her back within 5 minutes and I said, Dania, you honored me because you didn't argue and you took my answer. And I just expressed to her how much that meant to me. And I said, when we get home, which was like the next day or so, I said, we will go together, rent the movie, and we'll have a girls' night. And that's exactly what we did. And the movie turned out to be fine. But the fact that she honored me in that helped me to understand, here we are at that middle school age, and there's new ground to be gained, and there's a respect issue here on both sides. You know, I needed to respect her, too, for showing the maturity to not argue with me.
Was there ever a time with any of your children, you don't have to name which one, but on an issue like this where there was pushback and where it wasn't just, yes, ma'am?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, they push back a lot.
And so how do you handle that?
Well, I think what I've told my kids is that there's certain ways that are permissible to push back. And one of those is that you can acquiesce to obedience, as in you're going in that direction, and I know that you intend to do that, and pause to ask a question. As long as we both know that you're going in the direction of obedience, then it's okay to stop and question, because I know and you know that ultimately you're going to do what I've asked. And sometimes when they do push back, you know, and that's where as parents we need to let go of our pride. Just because I said it the first time, if I said it without thinking, that means I might need to go back and rethink and make a new decision.
So you have to be willing to do that if the situation warrants it.
I think it's critical because parenting is not about who wins. I mean, it is with a two-year-old, don't get me wrong. But as they get older, it needs to be a win-win on issues that have to do with things like hair, you know, painting your nails, shaving your legs. Those are things where parents need to let go of some pride.
Pick your battles, too.
Exactly.
Okay, let's come back to this thing of movies and entertainment, because that is a huge influence in so many people's lives today. So how do you decide about some of these really popular movies that are built around romance if you're going to watch it?
Well, one big thing I do is I talk to my friends about it. I talk to friends who have seen it, or I read reviews on it, and I read what people write about it. Because sometimes, if I just want to try it out for myself, things can still get in my mind. And I might see something that I don't want to see. But if I get a warning about it beforehand, then I don't have to put myself through finding out I really didn't want to see that. I also know that if it's something that I already know I struggle with, for instance, if I know when I'm alone by myself at night, I get scared, I'm not going to go watch a horror movie. Sometimes I'll hear a bump in the night and just my mind will go crazy. But if I've kept myself away from things that scare me or things that are not beneficial to me, then I hear a bump in the night and I turn over and go back to sleep.
So as a single young woman, are there certain kinds of movies that you find are not healthy for you to be watching in terms of your desires for marriage, romance?
Well, definitely there are some out there that portray relationships in an unhealthy way. God is first. And I've taken a stance on purity with the ministry that I have and the testimony I have around my friends and my peers. And so I don't want to go watch a movie that is going to make me second guess my commitment to God. And I don't want to go watch something that will make me think that a relationship other than my relationship with God is more important. Because what happens is we can surround ourselves with what the world wants us to think. We can surround ourselves with what is popular. And we can sometimes convince ourselves that that's better. But then when it comes to the end of it, we know that it's really not.
So let's talk about relationships, dating, the D word. Let me come back to you, Rebecca. Is this something you thought through as a mother when your kids were really little? When did you start thinking about it, and what kinds of how did you lay the groundwork for how you were going to approach this with your children?
Well, I did start thinking about it when they were really little. And one of the things that we did was when they turned five, they started to pray for their spouse. Again, that might sound premature.
They started to pray, or you started to pray?
I started to pray for their spouse when they were in the womb. But Rich and I had them praying for their future husband, in Daniel's case, future wives in the case of the boys.
And, Lord, help me find this person?
Well, when they were little, I just wanted them to understand that there is a real person out there, Lord willing. And we prayed that they would be growing up in a Christian home, that they would have a good day, that, you know, they would not get hurt, you know, things when they were little that they could identify with. And just to get in their minds that, yes, there is one person out there for you. And one of the things that I noticed other women doing, which thankfully the Lord let me as a young mom have mentors in my life. And whereas I saw some women with kids that were 3 and 4 years old saying, "Who's your boyfriend? Who's your girlfriend?" I had some really wise women in front of me who were there to point out to me and say, you know, this is what we should do as Christian moms. We're sabotaging our kids if we are implanting boyfriend and girlfriend in their minds as little children. So
you didn't go there?
We didn't go there. Now, when the kids were really little, when my son was about 4 years old, there was a little girl they were like 4 and 5, and she loved him. I mean, she loved him as much as a 4-year-old girl could love. And I just saw it in her eyes. She would just look at him and just, you could just see she just admired him so much, and she could not help herself. And yes, she kissed my son.
How did you hear about this?
He told me about it with a lot of giggles and told me what had happened. And so I talked to the mom, and they were missionaries actually home on furlough. And I don't know that they've been back to the States since, but I'm teasing. But we talked about it, and then we talked to her, to the little girl, and I just encouraged her to save her kisses for her daddy, that it wasn't time to kiss boys, but she needed to give all of her sweet kisses to her daddy. So we talked about it that way, too, from an early age, that there's a certain time when it's going to be appropriate to think about boys and girls as a future husband or a future wife.
Well, I think that one thing that was also important as I reached middle school and everyone was pairing up. It was like it just happened all of a sudden. And one of my best friends at the time hit 12 and got a boyfriend and had that boyfriend until she was 16. So she wasn't very much help to me in my middle school years. So I started to feel a little left out when all my friends were pairing up. And even one of my best friends got a boyfriend, and they, you know, they were always together. And I, you know, whenever she was around, he was around. And it was really weird that he was everywhere. And so I started, you know, thinking, well, is this normal? Should I do this? I didn't even like boys when I was 11 and 12 years old. I still thought they were just, I had little brothers. So that's what I thought of boys, as little brothers and people that I could boss around. I mean, honestly, I was a little bossy. But what Mom encouraged me was, every boy that you meet is someone else's future husband, except for one of them. But you don't know who that is. So you need to treat every boy you meet as if he's going to be someone else's husband one day. And you don't want to look back with any regrets thinking, oh, you know, I wish that I hadn't told him I loved him, or I wish I hadn't gone out with him this time because now I feel awkward because he's with someone else. And so we really encouraged living in a godly way so that we could protect other people.
Were you having this kind of discussion with your mom when you were a middle schooler?
I was, actually.
That's when the conversation started with things like that. And another thing that we discussed was just because you like somebody doesn't mean that you tell them. You know, that's what I've heard from different friends of mine. Well, he likes so-and-so, and he wanted to know if he should tell her. Well, no, he shouldn't tell her because odds are next week he's not going to like her. He's going to like someone else. And so rather than just start into all the drama of he likes her or she likes him, when you like somebody, you keep it to yourself because the feeling is going to fade. And that way nobody gets hurt, you included, because you don't have that embarrassment in case they don't like you back.
I hear from a lot of parents about really aggressive young women today, girls, and calling their boys or texting now. How do you handle that with your sons? How do you prepare them to deal with that?
Well, we have had to deal with that with one of our sons. And one word of caution to girls out there, if when you leave a message on, you know, I could speak for myself personally. When you leave a message for my son on my phone voicemail at home, you need to hang up before you continue your conversation with your friend. Because we had these girls that were on three-way that called the house for my son, and they left a message, but they did not hang up. And so they continued their little conversation.
And it got recorded on your voicemail.
Yes, ma'am. And it would have been very embarrassing to them had they known. So that's a word of warning. But we don't call boys is what I would tell those girls. But what my son has done, and he did it in a very gentlemanly way, but he came to my husband and he said this young lady had written him a note and told him how much she cared about him. And he said, you know, I don't really know what to do with this. And Rich, with respect for my son, said, well, how do you feel? Because, you know, our kids have feelings. And he said, well, I don't feel the same way. And he said, well, then you need to tell her that you just want to be friends. And so what he did was he wrote her back and told her exactly that. He said, I just want to be friends. And he said, my parents don't want me to date right now, and I agree with them. That's what he put.
So if he had had feelings at, say, 13, 14, how would you counsel your son or your daughter?
Well, if he had had feelings, we would have gone back to the discussion of these feelings, however strong you may think they are right now, odds are they are not going to be, you're not going to feel this way next week. So that would be one thing that we talk about. As a middle schooler, your feelings are all over the place. The next place that we would go with that conversation is to say, okay, what are you going to do with these feelings? Because you're 13. You can't get married. You can't get engaged. So where does that leave you? And then we would go into, if you allow the feelings to begin to take root, then that's going to lead to emotional and physical challenges in the days to come. And I think that as parents, one of our biggest mistakes is that we look at something like that and we see it as being very innocent, which at the outset, it is. But we need to understand and to respect the fact that our kids are growing up in a very sexualized culture. You cannot give them clearance on validating those feelings, understanding the fact that, as you said, you're risking emotional health and their sexual well-being.
And potentially setting yourself up for a lot of regret.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I know, Danny, you have challenged young women, middle schoolers, teenagers, to have a different focus than dating in their teenage years. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, your relationship with God should be your first priority. And when you really fall in love with God, when you really let Him work in your life, then you see everyday miracles happen. because God wants to do great and mighty things in your life, and he wants to use you in a powerful way for the kingdom. And if you let him, then, I mean, sometimes it'll just surprise you how everything will fall into place. And God wouldn't have given you dreams if he didn't want to use them. You don't just want to be a basketball player or an actress or a dentist. You don't just want to do that because it's cool. You want to do it because God put it inside of you. And so when you let him take that dream and use it for his glory, then it becomes even so much more than you originally thought it could be. So when I set my focus on God at a young age, and I, as I said earlier in my testimony, as I gave over to him my music, he started using that, and I was performing places and leading worship at churches professionally when I was 15 years old, and on after that.
I think it's really important, like what Dania's talking about, is at the middle school age, your kids have a great opportunity to develop their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a parent have a great opportunity to help them. You know, for the Bible instructs us to train up a child in the way he should go. That's one way that I've heard that interpreted is God built your child to go a certain way with certain leanings, certain giftings, the certain way that he hardwired them in order to glorify him, whether that is through the arts, whether that is through great technological savvy, or whether that is in being a great friend. You know, some people, God just has hardwired them to be a great friend. So there's all kinds of things that you can ask the Lord, open my eyes to this child's strengths and weaknesses, and show me how to train him or her up in the way that he or she should go in order to please you, in order to glorify you. And let's look at these years as just a great time of exploring, not a time when you're worried about being a couple or you're worried about excluding yourself from other people and other activities. Because these middle school relationships, when they are just left unleashed, can really eat up not only a person's time and energy,
but their soul.
Their soul.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to all the young ladies out there, just have some dignity. You are worth waiting for. And you don't need to be the one pursuing the boy. You need to understand that God has someone out there for you. And when it's time, God will bring them into your life. And, you know, you are beautiful and you are worth such value to God, and he wants to use your life. So don't spend your time chasing after something that should be chasing after you. And if they're not right now, then just say, okay, God, I understand you want to use me for something different right now, and you want my focus to be on something else, and let him do great works in your life.
Dania Powell has recently been through her junior high and high school years, and she's been giving wise counsel to the young ladies entering that season of life. Dania and her mom, Rebecca Ingram Powell, have been helping moms of teenagers understand how to approach media and relationships. I hope you'll follow up by getting a copy of her book, Season of Change, Parenting Your Middle Schooler with Passion and Purpose. If you have young children, reading the book now will help you prepare for seasons of change, which will be upon you before you know it. If you already have a child in middle school, the book will offer you suggestions you can put into practice right away. And if you know someone who will be facing this season soon, it would make a great gift. Reading the book will help you set expectations about dating and media. It will help you communicate those expectations. It will show you how to encourage your children to have a heart for the Lord and embrace His mission for their lives. When you donate any amount at reviveourhearts.com, we'll send you Season of Change, or ask for it when you make your contribution by phone. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, Rebecca Ingram Powell and her daughter Dania will be back with us tomorrow to pick up today's conversation on relationships. How can you steer your children toward healthy friendships? Be back again tomorrow for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.